Welcome to the Degenerates Clubhouse, a place for less than distinguished gentlemen to discuss nonsense and fuck all tomfoolery with your hosts Aaron and Armando. Honestly, who's going to listen to this? What a couple of stupid fucking cunts.
Welcome to episode 106 of the Degenerates Clubhouse.
Howdy, howdy.
You know what, Mondo? Just right off the top, let's jump in and start talking about a historical degenerate.
Historical man, historical man.
That's the new theme song?
Yeah. We're just going to use that same song and reword it every time for other shit.
There's just like a weird bleep out where it's you know, it's Florida man, but you just cut that piece of audio and you say historical.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's an idea. I had plans, well, I still have plans to do more little theme intros and things like that. I think it'd be fun. But currently, all the money I have is still going to building the house. So that is on the back burner for this moment.
Shows where your priorities are.
Correct, sir. Very correct.
Degenerates history. DNA said to prove President Warren Harding had love child. Ooh. Genetic tests have solved one of the enduring mysteries of presidential history and offer insights into the secret life of America's 29th president, Washington. She was denounced as a degenerate and a pervert.
Wait, did this story get telegraphed into us?
Uh-huh.
You still have a telegraph?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. Like, we can't figure out how to set up the broadcasting software on your laptop, but you set up a fucking telegraph in your apartment. Word. Kudos to you, Armando. Continue.
That should be the degenerates. No, I was going to say that should be the degenerates history song. Anyway. She was denounced as a degenerate and a pervert, accused of lying for money and shamed for waging a diabolical campaign of falsehoods against the president's family that tore away at his legacy.
I mean, I like her already. Yeah. This is whether or not this is true. I mean, I see no fault in this.
Long before Lucy Mercer, Kay Summersby, or Monica Lewinsky, there was Nan Britton, who scandalized the nation with stories of carnal adventures in a White House coat closet, endured a ferocious backlash for publicly claiming that she bore the love child of President Warren G. Harding.
All right. Pause real quick.
Paused.
So first of all, I had to look up because I didn't know who Lucy Mercer was. That was apparently FDR had a love child. Not a love child, a mistress, which, I mean, you know, kudos to him. He was in the wheelchair and he still had to somehow pull a mistress. But all that said, I feel like whether or not these mistresses were in fact degenerates, I feel like they get a bad rap, you know?
Mistresses or the chicks that are number two fiddle to president's wife?
That is what a mistress is.
Okay.
A mistress and the number two fiddle, the side piece, the side chick. That's the same thing.
Why do I always think mistress is like the next chick after your wife, you're widowed?
I don't know, but
I'm retarded. Don't listen to me.
But like Monica Lewinsky in particular, right? You know, she's a patriot. You know, like, and like Bill Clinton. First of all, he's working hard. You know, they don't even stop to have sex. He's like, okay, we just got to do a blowjob because I'm very, very busy. She's like, sir, yes, sir. I will do whatever I need to for my country. That's how I'm imagining this all went down. And, you know, she gets labeled a degenerate. Like, that's even a bad thing. Her name gets dragged through the mud. And I don't know. I don't know if you've heard her speak about any of this as she's now an adult.
Mm-hmm.
But she's got like a pretty good sense of humor about it in general, and she's just like a generally funny person. I'm like, oh, like I kind of forget that she was like 20 something, like 21,
yeah,
when that all happened. And she's like, I'm just a 20-year-old intern, you know, doing my patriotic duty of slobbing the president's knob. It's, you know, what the country needed to keep moving forward. And then she just had her name dragged through the mud more than Clinton's, right? She was like a running punchline for like 20 years. So
but like, kind of, what do you expect to happen when you know, if and when the truth comes out and you're a president's mistress? Like, what do you?
Yeah, I don't think it was like a calculated thing by her, you know, on her part, because she was like a 21-year-old intern or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think there was like some master plan.
I think that's the case for a lot of.
But that's what they're saying, that wait, what was her name? Nan Britton. This is all part of her master plan to like smear Warren Harding. It's like, no, I think he smeared plenty of things himself.
Oh, gross. Now, nearly a century later, according to genealogists, genetic tests confirmed for the first time that Britton's daughter, Elizabeth Ann Blazing, was indeed Harding's biological child. Ooh. The tests have solved one of the enduring mysteries of presidential history and offer insights into the secret life of America's 29th president. At the least, they demonstrate how the march of technology is increasingly rewriting history books.
So the other part, like one of the things that was really different about her is most of the mistresses, the side pieces, for you kids out there, they weren't really trying to push it, you know, into the public. Like even Monica Lewinsky, like it really sounds like she kind of got coerced into giving testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Like she wasn't out there like, no, let me just, you know, tell you about how I was second to prison. Yeah. They're like, no, Miss Lewinsky, was that a gargle or a slurp at the end? We need this for the presidential records.
It was both.
This is going to be entered into the Library of Congress, so make sure you're under oath. No.
Bitch has her techniques down.
But apparently, like, Britton wrote a biography, like a tell-all, and she was talking about how they were, like, banging, like, in the White House closets and things like that. And it was, like, very, very tawdry. I mean, like, next level. Like Bill Clinton, as much of a horn dog as he was, had nothing on Harding, if her biography is to believe. And it sounds like, based on DNA testing, it was. So how did this affect the legacy in their families, Mondo?
Let me see where the fuck I was. Okay, here we go. The revelation is also royal. Two families that have circled each other warily for 90 years, struggling with issues of rumor, truth, and fidelity. Even now, members of the Harding family remain divided, with some still skeptical after a lifetime of denial and unhappy about cousins who chose to pursue the question. Some descendants of Britton remain resentful. It has taken this long for evidence to come out and for her credibility to be validated.
Would you care? Like, if you were one of her descendants, would you be like...
I would give a shit. I would be like, yeah, my fucking grandma was a whore and bang the president. Like, you know, it's not something you really...
Wow. Even if it was your own flesh and blood, you'd be so judgmental of her.
Yes. Yes.
But here's the other thing. Would you care if somehow there was an inheritance on the line? Yeah,
like,
you would.
Like if my grandmother birthed an illegitimate... And I was like... A descent by your definition, I would have to be a descendant of some president or something,
mm-hmm.
and there was money on the line. Oh, I would care.
This is just to be clear. this is a purely hypothetical situation, because I think like in the realm of presidents, it was like white male, black male, white woman, gay male, and then Mexican male.
What?
That's the
you son of a bitch.
What? I'm just saying. Like it seems like there is a sort of pecking order of like what our country is willing to accept. I'm not saying me, I don't care, Mondo, but it seemed like we discovered like, oh, I think our country would rather have a black male than a white woman as president.
Maybe.
I think so. I think the sexism trumps the racism.
You think so?
That's kind of the way it bore out.
Yeah, I guess, but I don't know. Politics aside, I don't know if one candidate was just a better qualified candidate. I don't know. I don't care. Honestly, when that came about, when Hillary Clinton like announced her presidency candidacy, whatever, I was all on board for voting for her until all the other dirt came out, and I was like, I don't know, no, I'm not. I wouldn't vote for you just so you can be the first woman president. No, that doesn't. The dirt doesn't trump. All the other, you know. Anyway, the Nan Britton affair was a sensation of its age, a product of the jazz-playing, gin-soaked, roaring 20s, and a pivotal moment in the evolution of the modern White House. It was not the first time a president had been accused of an extracurricular love affair, but never before had a self-proclaimed presidential mistress gone public with a popular tell-all book. Is that the book you're talking about?
Yeah.
Oh.
I forgot it was in there.
While some historians dismissed Britton's account, it remained part of popular lore. HBO's Boardwalk Empire made it a subplot a few years ago. I didn't know that.
I didn't even know there was an HBO show called Boardwalk Empire. You learn something every day.
The Library of Congress effectively recalled it last year when they released Harding's love letters with another mistress, Carrie Phillips. Oh, so there was more than one Sancha.
Oh, yeah. No, I told you on the presidential like horn dog tier list, this guy's number one. To be ahead of Bill Clinton, Mondo, there have to be multiple mistresses.
Do you think, though, like, not saying I'm excusing it, but do you think it was just more acceptable for men in that time for men to have like a second and third? Like, I think it was kind of more, I wouldn't say normalized. It wasn't as bad. I think more emphasis was made because he was the president doing this shit, not so much.
No, I don't think it was more normalized, but I think it was a lot easier to keep quiet. Right. There wasn't like social media and 24-hour news and this, that, and the other. I mean, this, in a lot of respect, well, maybe not in the Roaring Twenties, but like in the 50s, like their culture was even more tight, you know, tight-laced and PC than ours. But there was this sort of like, it was, you know what? You remember how the U.S. military had a don't ask, don't tell policy mm-hmm. about gays? It was like that, but for philandering. They're like, we're just going to pretend that that didn't happen, and we'll just repress all of our feelings and emotions way deep down and pretend none of it's affecting us. That was sort of the general MO in the 50s, I think. So I don't think it was more acceptable, but I think it was easier to get away with and maybe a little bit easier to ignore.
Probably. Britain, 31 years younger than Harding, holy shit, had a harder time proving a relationship when she revealed it after his death because she had destroyed her own letters with him at his request and because his family insisted he was sterile. Peter Harding said that as a boy growing up, he believed the family line.
That's just great. It couldn't have been his child because my dad's balls don't work.
My dad's dick don't work.
Well, it's sterile.
It's just funny if you say his dick don't work.
But anatomically inaccurate, Armando.
Oh, God damn
it. That's why you're never going to be a doctor for Warren Harding.
No, sir. This is quoted. My father said this couldn't have happened because President Harding had mumps as a kid and was infertile and the family really vilified Nan Britton, said Harding, now 72 and a physician in Big Sur, California. After finding Britton's book, The President's Daughter, among his father's belongings, though, he concluded that the man described in it resembled the writer of the letters to Phillips, an expressive romantic who doted on women. Peter Harding and his cousin Abigail Harding decided to pursue the matter and made contact with James Blazing, a grandson of Britton and son of the daughter she claimed to have conceived with the president, testing by Ancestry.com.
Oh, shit. Ancestry.com gets a plug in this article?
The genealogical website found that Blazing was a second cousin to Peter and Abigail Harding, meaning that Elizabeth Ann Blazing had to have been the president's daughter. We're looking at the genetic scene to see if Warren Harding and Nan Britton had a baby together. And all these signs are pointing to yes, said Stephen Bologlu, an executive at Ancestry.com. Technology that we're using is at a level of specificity that there's no need to do more DNA testing. This is the definitive answer. Last paragraph. The testing also found that Harding had no ancestors from sub-Saharan Africa, answering another question that has intrigued historians. When Harding ran for president in 1920, segregationist opponents claimed that he had black blood.
So that last part, I don't really know how to feel about it. Segregationists, take that. He doesn't have black blood? Like, I don't...
Speaking of segregation, just a quick little tangent. So the other day I was on...
what?
Hold on. So okay. I was looking at sports things and something on my Twitter popped up. Apparently there's...
Oh, like and a, you're like, there should be a black NBA and a white NBA?
No. Oh. There was a picture when they were trying to desegregate schools. There was a picture of good old Jerry Jones as a high schooler, like in the background, like pretty much saying, yeah, let's keep it black people school and white people school. He was like basically trying to keep it segregated. Fast forward however many hundred years that motherfucker is, he now owns the Cowboys, which, you know, any NFL team is going to be mixed. There's just no way around it. But anyway, good old Uncle Jerry.
Yeah, well, he's still probably racist as fuck, but in his mind, he's just like... Yeah, like I'm still, you know, they're still working for peanuts and compared to what I'm making. And the Cowboys are, I think, the most profitable NFL franchise, aren't they?
They're one of the winningest Super Bowl champion. So with that comes the accolades, the prestige, the money.
So he's like, yes, I'm still making my fortune off of the backs of African Americans, as it should be.
You fucker.
Jerry Jones.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know. I never saw him as a racist, but it doesn't surprise me. I think it doesn't surprise anybody that he does not like the blacks. So that was it for Degenerate's History. Moving on, we haven't done this segment in a long, long, long time. Aaron, we're going to play Deal Breakers.
I'm ready. My body is ready for this, Mondo.
Do you want to go first with the question, or do you want me to give you a question first?
I would like you to provide a question.
Okay. Deal breaker number one. On her dating profile, she has written something to the effect of mind, body, and soul, with the word mind spelled M-I-N-E instead of M-I-N-D, and then the word soul spelled S-O-L-E. So she's clearly heard the phrase, put it out there, mind, body, and soul.
Yeah, no, that's not a deal breaker.
It's not?
No.
You don't have like a... You don't have like a minimum.
Dude, you didn't know what a mistress was 5 seconds
ago. That's true.
Like people get shit wrong. The one that people always get wrong is for all intents and purpose. Like they always think it's all intensive purpose.
Yeah.
But like people mishear stuff. You get shit wrong. Like that's not a big deal.
Do you not have, this is just the question. Do you not have like a minimum like level? I've always thought of like good spelling and good grammar as a sign of intelligence. Doesn't always work out that way, but I always thought like someone who has good spelling, good grammar, to me they're a little more, I don't know, I just think of them as more intelligent people. Do you not have like a minimum kind of like intelligence? Like,
well, sure, but so spelling has very little to do with intelligence though, because particularly with homophones, right? You know what homophones are?
I don't know what that is.
God, look at this. This guy getting all hoity-toity. I'm saying, minimum intelligence. Let me educate you,
sure,
Sir Armando. Homophones are words that sound the same. So like soul and soul, like, you know, S-O-U-L and right. S-O-L-E. And there's no rhyme or reason for most of them other than just that's how they're spelled and you just have to memorize it.
Okay.
So... A, if that's just not something you're interested in. B, I mean, a lot of people don't get the greatest education. That's not their fault, but that's not a reflection of their intelligence, I don't think. And like some people have learning disabilities where they're very smart, but like their brain just isn't going to work like that. And so that would never be a deal breaker.
I think if you're going to put like a phrase or a common motto, something that someone's like something well-known, it's not like something they created and you're misspelling it.
Sure.
I have a problem with it.
Nah, I don't. I mean,
to me, it's just like that person doesn't have a fundamental understanding of what that phrase is supposed to be saying.
Seems quite likely. Maybe they thought it was German. They're like, my body and soul. Yeah, that's just like a little bit of a blip. You know, that could be one data point among many where if there's like a bunch of other things like that start to crop up and I'm like, oh, you're a moron.
Yeah.
But... just one that isn't by itself all that big of a deal to me.
All right, your turn.
So let us see, Mano. You know how there's cat ladies? What if I was trying to think of if she had a bizarre pet, and I was like, how weird could it be? Where it's sort of in a gray area. What if she was a ferret lady? So she's got like three ferrets, and they're brothers, right? They're all from the same litter. There's a lot of ferret-related things. Like she's got like a system of tubes that she's constructed through her apartment, so they can have free reign. And
so they're all have to do with her pets, like the tubes and stuff. So you've seen Dodgeball, A Love Story,
yes.
And then he goes into that one blonde chick's house, and like there's like decorative unicorns
yeah.
everywhere, like everything.
Uh-huh.
It's one thing to have pets and then have stuff to like support your pets. Mm-hmm. But if she has like ferret photos, you know, her screensaver's all ferret. If like she's like ferret nut lady, then I'd have to do.
Wait, so would having actual ferrets be more of a deal breaker for you than having a lot of like stuffed unicorns and unicorn figurines?
No, having actual ferrets is okay.
That's okay.
It's when you have ferret everything like around your house.
Yeah, no, the whole system of tubes and everything, that's for the ferrets to like run through and everything. But So it'd be creepier for you if there was a lot of pictures of ferrets as opposed to just the actual ferrets themselves.
Yeah.
So that's not a deal breaker for you.
No, it's not a deal breaker.
Okay.
Because I could play with ferrets. But if she has like some like obsessive compulsive thing towards something like that, then it's kind of, you know what I mean? Aaron, question number two for you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
She likes you on a dating site, meaning she swiped right on you.
Oh, okay. That's a red flag already. Continue. Okay.
But
poor taste of character, judgment of character. Oh, hopefully taste of character.
But
too.
She has spina bifida.
What's that?
Spina bifida is where like it's like some spinal disease where she's like basically in a wheelchair or one of them, you know, Stephen Hawking type of deals. Like for her life, like I think it's like your deterioration,
vertebrae defect.
There you go.
Spinal cords and nerves.
So she's basically she's wheelchair bound for life. She can never walk. She can never get up.
And apparently she's always been, because it says it occurs when a developing baby's spinal cord fails to develop or close properly while in the womb. So her spinal cord's just all jacked up, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that honestly, if it was on a dating website, I probably would be like a swipe left deal breaker.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I'm on your side. But I find it difficult to say that. You know what I mean? Like
So I could see a scenario where if that was someone I met like organically,
yeah,
out in the wild, like where it would, you know, like I like to live an active lifestyle. I like to go on hikes. I mean, and hopefully I can continue doing that, you know, my health problems aside for you know, myself. But I mean, I think someone who can participate in things you like to do, I mean, that's just like an important part of a relationship. And that is what it is. I don't think that's being that selfish.
For me, like someone with an unnatural, like a birth defect or something like that, like I would almost have to be like introduced by one of her friends or whatever, like, hey, I want you to meet this person. Heads up, they've got this disease thing, but they're really cool. And if someone does that handoff, I'm more inclined to like, yeah, I'll meet her. We'll go out on a date. And then, you know, and right. Like you said, if I like to go hikes or runs or whatever, and she can't enjoy those things. If she's I think if I really, really liked her, then there'd be a workaround. Like you'd work around that somehow. You figure out all that other shit. It's just it's hard to be.
Maybe this is shallow, but even if they had a prosthetic leg, that would give me a moment of pause.
Yeah.
If
was
unaware,
yeah,
I'd be like, here's the weird thing. I don't know why, Mondo. I can't tell you. This isn't rational. If they had a prosthetic arm, like their arm was cut off at the elbow, I wouldn't even think twice about it. Be like, whatever, prosthetic arm, cool. But if it was a prosthetic leg where like the leg was cut off at the knee, something about that, I don't think that would be an instant deal breaker for me at all. But like, I would stop and be like, oh, hold on, wait a second. Yeah. So apparently somehow the way I'm wired, I put a lot of value on the ability to walk. Dude, and legs.
It's a better thing if she's got a bum leg, because you can run away from her. You can fucking
no, man. Yeah. Have you seen?
She can't catch up.
Have you seen those prosthetic like fin legs that you could just?
What's that guy, the Blade Runner, the guy that killed people, Pistorius?
Yeah, no, they're fast now, dude. With how much my knee's been giving me trouble, I'm like, maybe I just get it chopped off.
Yeah, why not?
Just get one of those cool prosthetic legs. Pretty soon we're gonna have cyborgs, Mondo. I'd like to be a cyborg.
Your turn.
Okay. God, we learned so much. We learned what spina bifida was. We learned all this. All right. Her parents just straight up hate you.
Her parents just straight up hate me?
Yeah, you've like started dating and you've met her parents and they don't like you.
That's not a deal breaker.
You want me to be even like more specific?
Okay. They hate Mexicans?
Let me make it even more. Yes, they hate Mexicans, but they're Puerto Rican.
That's very common, though.
Right, I know. That's why I went there.
That's very, very common. No, I wouldn't.
And she's like very big on family, and she kind of gets how much of assholes her parents are.
Uh-huh.
But she's like, family's important. Like, we have to go over there. Like, she wants you to go and spend time with them at least like once or twice a week. Like holidays, like that's a very big part of her life. And she kind of gets it. She's sympathetic, but she's like, no, like my family's really important.
Let me just to put it on a different perspective. Same question, but different. So My sister's husband, my brother-in-law, when they first got together, he was 18. He's a dumb punk, and he impregnated my sister. And he basically lived with my folks rent-free. And let's just say did a lot of childish things. You know, cops came to the to the house looking for him once, and he's smoking weed. A number of dumb things. Mm-hmm. He outgrew that. I can see how, putting myself in his shoes, how difficult it might be to navigate that. Like, oh, fuck, in my youth, I fucked up. I kind of burned a little bit of a bridge. Or I gave him a wrong idea of who I am as a person.
Well, it sounds like it was an accurate idea, but he just changed.
But he changed. Now, he's got this uphill battle, you know, basically for the rest of his life, you mm-hmm. know, to regain a little bit of that, you know, respect from my I think my folks are cool with him now. I think I'm okay with him. He's a great father, and he's a great husband to my sister from what I've been told. I would like for him to make attempts to like try to be include himself more in family things. I would like to see him make more strides in trying to like join family functions, even mm-hmm. though he's going to be kind of awkwardly to the side for a while. I think for the most part, he's not my enemy. I don't hate him. Mm-hmm. I want to see him more around our family. I can tell you my brother does not feel that way at all. My brother's like, fuck this guy. Like, but I understand where my brother's perspective. He's just, I think I'm just a little more, when it comes to that, I think I'm a little more forgiving. Like I said, I don't know. So I could see, back to the degenerate or the deal breaker question, if I was dating this Puerto Rican chick and her fucking folks hated me, I would make an effort to try to either win them over, and it might never happen. I might never win them over, but it's not a deal breaker for me to be with the girl. It just means I gotta mind my P's and Q's and walk on eggshells a little bit, you know?
And you have to do it while being around them constantly.
Yeah. Yeah. Tricky shit. Question number 3 for you, sir.
Uh-huh.
She thinks COVID is a hoax, part of a conspiracy by the government to control us.
Yeah, it's probably a deal breaker. Well, because I'm assuming, so that's one of those things where like, that never comes by itself, right? I don't think there's anyone who is like completely normal in all other areas. And they're like, no, just this one thing. Like she's got other conspiracy theories. She's got some interesting political views. She's got like, I don't know, that would be my assumption.
Yeah.
Cause you also said like a hoax. That's just, it's like just demonstrably not a hoax. It's like everybody at this point knows someone who's gotten COVID.
Uh-huh.
If that's just ignoring reality.
Yeah.
If she was like, well, no, like China released it to at least somehow there's a little bit of a grounding in reality. But if you're just completely ignoring things that you could just tangibly see, I'm like, nah.
Okay.
Nah, I'm out.
That was my question, but let me take it back. Let's say she obviously doesn't believe it's a hoax. She knows COVID is real, but she thinks it's a U.S. government. Part of a government conspiracy to control us and to microchip us and all that.
Sure. But I'd say, why? How does that benefit the... Why would they do that? What's the end game there?
Mind control, dude.
They're mind controlling this?
Yeah. Have you ever heard about the one where they supposedly put fluoride in water because that's like enough fluoride in the body they mm-hmm. can control us? I don't know enough chemistry to...
I would say, So you think, how are they microchipping us through COVID? And then she's like, oh, the vaccines. I'm like, do you understand what a microchip is? Like,
nanobot.
Did you? Yes. I'm like, so basically, just to be clear, you saw one of the Avengers movies and you confused the Stark nanobot technology with like a real thing. Is that what happened? And she's like, yeah, it's nanotechnology. I'm like, okay, now we're out of the realm of like reality. But because that is the one thing that like, there was just no benefit for the government to do that. Like it doesn't make sense. Like it doesn't, when you're trying to figure out a crime,
uh-huh.
There has to be a motive or it just doesn't really work. It's like all these big fucking companies and corporations, they all lost. Well, actually that's not really true, is it? I was going to say a lot of them lost money. The government definitely lost money.
Yeah.
But here we're getting into this like weird conspiracy web where you can try to twist it around. I was like, only it was all for the corporations and they did this and that. I'm like, nah, I think I'm good.
I think that shit's interesting, but as a jest, like people that take it like hardcore serious, I'm kind of like, all right. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that's like just to go back, that's probably a deal breaker. Like, just to be clear, if you're asking like, oh, do you think our government is just great and altruistic and every intention they have is pure and they're not doing like weird, shady backdoor shit? I'd be like, no, absolutely not. But yeah, that one doesn't really make sense.
All right, you're up, Chief.
What if she just has a really, really monotone voice?
Talks like a robot?
Yeah, and that's just completely, and not even just the voice. She's just like a very like emotionless in terms of her outward display. Like, she has emotions and feelings and everything, but it's very hard to tell just from looking or hearing it. Or because
I'm gonna say it's not a deal breaker only because I think I have been with a couple girls like that that were just very dry, bland, near emotionless, almost always monotone. It wasn't a deal breaker, but it didn't make the relationship, whether it was just dating or just banging or, you know, hooking up, whatever, it didn't make it fun. It was kind of like, why do I want to be a part of this? I mean, so it's not a deal breaker, but it's not like a lasting thing.
What if she was super monotone and emotionless, but also insisted on doing like a lot of dirty talk while having sex?
Oh, put it in my butt. Yes. Yeah,
Armando.
Yeah.
That's the spot.
Twist my nipples.
Just so disinterested. Yeah. You're like, what the fuck? Please just shut up.
Yeah.
No?
No, not a deal breaker. Aaron, question number 4 for you.
Yeah.
She did a porn scene once, but mm-hmm. says she has no interest in ever doing it again.
No, so what? Hold on. Now, what was the porn scene? It was just one scene.
She got fucked. She got
it was a one-off.
She, you know, she gave a dude a blowy, and then
he. Are we talking? The sponsor of our last episode, Bang Bros. Are we talking about just a typical Bang Bros scene, or is this like
let's just say it's a vanilla sex scene,
Mega Bukkake 9000?
Yeah, no, a vanilla sex scene. It wasn't like there was some doggy, there was some missionary, there was a blowjob, but there was none of this like. Come all over your face it wasn't like she wasn't getting like three-wayed by two dudes or something like that, or you know, it was just
vanilla sex scene. No problem at all.
Really?
No problem. If it was like, if she's like, yeah, I was like, I just, there was something, you know, deep inside, like, you know, you like to see if you can climb mountains, and I wanted to see if I could solo bang 25 guys at once. And that was, you know, that was my mountain to climb. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, you know, I think maybe,
yeah.
Maybe our interests are a little bit too different there.
But you're okay if she did one fuck scene.
Yeah, who gives a shit?
So like, you know, your folks can like YouTube the, or not YouTube, but
yeah,
like,
they don't know how to use the internet that well.
Okay, all right.
We're fine. Like,
all right, your question, you're up.
And if they did, I'd be like, guys, why are you watching that?
All right, you're up.
And then I'd be like, if you really need to watch that, I mean, I could ask if she wants to, you know, make a private video for you guys, and then I guarantee you, it would never come up again. They were like, all right, nope, that's okay. Okay, last one. She is just really, really, really into serial killers. All the serial killer shows, the Jeffrey Dahmer documentaries, like, she likes that. You, like, you've got your little frame posters of half-naked guys all over the place, but she's got she clicks original newspaper clippings about serial killers and likes to get them framed. Like, that's her thing.
Huh. I don't know. I don't think I'd have a problem with it. Because I've kind of sort of dipped my toes in that. Like, I watched the Dahmer show, and then I went through some rabbit hole on YouTube of watching different serial killer thing. I never stuck through an entire episode. They were all kind of boring, but I dipped my toes. I very rarely go down this like internet, like search history thing and start looking up all this stuff. But you know, I it interests me, and then I kind of just walk away from it because it's like, it's not for me. But if there's someone that really likes that shit, it'd be kind of cool. So I'd learn from them probably. I don't know that I would pursue the same passion that they would, but I, you know, don't bother me none.
You gotta watch serial killer things all the time. You've got to drive to like the childhood homes of serial killers anytime you're going through a state, so she can like look at them and take selfies in front of them. It's like, this is where Jeffrey, I don't even really know any of the serial killers, but like, this is where Buffalo Bill, that's a fictional one, right? This is where he like carved up 20 victims. And she's like, she's like doing like the like bunny ears selfie. You're like, what the fuck? Like yeah. Serial killers, major part of your life. You're down with it?
Yeah. All right. Last one from me. She was.
Oh, you have a sixth one?
I've only done four.
Oh, you went first. So.
Yeah. So you probably skipped one of yours.
Did I?
Yeah. Cause I'm going in order. Huh. Of the ones that I had written down. But in any case.
Oh, I did skip one.
All right. So last one for me. She was born a hermaphrodite, but is now 100% a woman.
So she can't have kids then.
Is that
I don't think they can.
Well, I don't know. Okay.
Well, I guess in this scenario, in your thing, like, can she have kids?
Well, so, okay. How that question came about, I was watching... Something, Halloween came up, and I go, oh, Jamie Lee Curtis, she's
yeah,
hot.
Yeah, that was a rumor,
and
though.
There was the rumor that she was born with a dick, and then she got it chopped off and became, and just went straight to become a woman. But I don't know if that's true or not. It's probably just
fake. I think that was a rumor. But in this scenario, can she have kids?
If you're telling me scientifically hermaphrodites can't, then no. But if it's
Hey, Mondo, guess what? I didn't go to med school.
Okay, so let's assume that hermaphrodites can, you know, choose, like at a certain point in their life, they can choose which way they want to go. And she went the woman way, and then had all the insides to be able to reproduce. Would you be cool with it?
I think so. And you know what? I don't even know if she couldn't have kids. I don't know if that would even necessarily be a deal breaker.
So for me, you kind of, I didn't know the Jamie Lee Curtis thing was a rumor, but I was like, Jamie Lee Curtis comes to me and says, hey, I want to fuck. I'd be like, yes, please. You know what I mean?
I mean, especially if it's Jamie Lee Curtis in, what was that movie with Schwarzenegger?
I don't know. Oh,
True Lies?
Yeah, yeah. Though there's earlier on in her youth, she was very open about showing her titties. Like, she was very open about showing boobies and all this shit. Like, there's a lot of, I think she's in a lot of, she has a lot of topless scenes in like movies from like the 70s and 80s. But in any case, you're cool with it. Did you find your last answer, question for me?
No, I'm just trying to find out if hermaphrodites can have kids or not. Apparently, this was a published paper by Mr. Brett A.H. Schultz et al. From Obstet Gynecological Studies 2009. It says, conclusion, partial removal of testicular tissue may enhance fertility in hermaphrodites.
Ooh.
And there may be a genetic basis for the progeny to be male. So it sounds like they can, in some cases, hermaphrodites can become pregnant, and they're more predisposed to having boys than girls.
Mm. All right.
I don't really know. I don't know how that affects the deal breaker, but I'm learning so much today. Learning about DNA tests and hermaphrodites. What a wonderful world we live in.
Yep.
Speaking of problematic women to date. We are going to do a binge or purge, which formerly was new on Netflix, and this is the first Netflix show we've done in a while. I think we're going to do a review of Wednesday.
I'm bummed they didn't use that fucking song.
No, they sort of did. So
at the I know they kind of mix in
that was one of the things that they tried to do to not the greatest effect, where they're like, let's work in sort of out of place references to the original movie and show.
Yeah.
Where and one of the parts that I was just like, guys, really? Minor spoiler alert. There is a statue where there's a riddle, and when they solve the riddle, the way you get to the secret passage is snapping twice.
Yep.
Like we were just doing the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, so apparently, in all the years this school's been, no one has just snapped their fingers in front of the statue. Like, that is the worst way to disguise a hidden passage. Because, like, what are the... Mondo, do you ever just snap your fingers? Like, you're trying to remember something, you're like... And then...
It's rare. I do, but I don't. It's not like I'm snapping my fingers. Like I might do it to stupid over there.
But yeah. In the 50 years that school has been there or whatever, no one has ever just snapped their fingers in front of this fucking statue. I'm like, anyhow. So I guess if I was to describe the show, it as Armando alluded to, it is sort of a spin-off of the Addams Family, where the main character is now Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember, Wednesday is the daughter, so named for the line, Wednesday's child is full of woe. I was sort of alluding to her a little bit in The Deal Breakers. She's very monotone and sullen and obsessed with serial killers, and she's kind of a sadist. And she's like a kind of like an anime protagonist in a way, because she's super OP. Like, we don't really ever get an explanation why she has such high proficiency in everything.
Yeah.
Because she can, like, fucking pick locks, and she knows how to fight incredibly well, and she's, like, a swords master, and it's like, this is just sort of an OP protagonist.
And you're like, all right. Where did you find the time to learn all these skills and be super proficient in everything you do? It's crazy.
She's, like, 15 when the show starts, and she's like, well, I spent 7 years living in Tibet with monks and fighting polar bears. We're like, what the fuck are you talking? Like, how did you... Where did you have time to do any of this? And she is a female edgelord. So I guess, would that make her an edge lady? Do you know that, term, edgelord?
Nope.
Let me see if I can find the Urban Dictionary definition. But like there's a lot of especially like 2000s protagonists for, and I think it's in more shows geared towards young males, where the protagonist is supposed to be very edgy and he's always trying to say things that are a little provocative. So this is the definition. A person who affects a provocative or extreme persona, especially online, typically used of a man. Edgelords act like contrarians in the hope everyone will admire them as rebels. She's a little edgelord.
So Wednesday Addams is played by Jenna Ortega. I've seen her before in a couple of things. She was in the most recent Scream that came out like maybe a year ago. Also notable is Gwendolyn Christie, who plays Brienne of Tarth in Game of Thrones. Uh-huh. She was also in...
She's like the one person in the whole series who can act pretty well.
She was great. She was also in Sandman, a show that just came out not too long ago. And also... Surprise, surprise, Christina Ricci plays a part in the show, which is kind of a nod because obviously Christina Ricci did Wednesday Addams in the Addams Family movies. There was like two movies in like the 90s.
She was, from an acting perspective, a far superior Wednesday to Jenna Ortega.
You think so?
Oh, hell yeah. I feel like when they made this show, they were sort of like, we want to make this like Harry Potter, but with monsters. I feel like they had a limited time frame and budget to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, okay, should we put our resources into writing? Like, they're like, no, fuck that. It'll just Harry Potter monsters. It writes itself. Don't worry about any of that. And then they're like, well, should we put it into acting? They're like, no, not really. We don't need to do that. They're like, well, do we put it into CGI? They're like, no, we're going to put it all the money into set design. Our set design is going to be amazing. Everything else is going to be not like terrible, but kind of bad. And they're like, but surely we need some CGI. And they're like, yeah, we're going to spend our whole CGI budget on the very last episode. And the CGI for the rest of the show is going to look like that we spent like $10 on it.
So tell me how you really feel about the show.
I think I just did it right there.
Yeah.
Let's start, because you're talking about the people in the show.
Right.
Some of it was not their fault, because they were given a lot of clunker lines of dialogue to deliver, which is not entirely their fault. Particularly Jenna Ortega, because they're like, yeah, we want you to be sullen and edgy, and you're obsessed with death and macabre. And now you have to randomly say this pop culture phrase where it's like, what was the one where I was just like kind of rolled my eyes, where she was like... trying to be this sort of sullen Wednesday. And she's like, now you're going to mansplain me how because she's like a seer. Like, she can see the future, like how my visions work. There was a lot of parts like that where they just randomly tried to throw in pop culture words and lines into the show. And it just, none of them fit for me. Like, every time I was like, ugh. But that said, the dialogue was not so bad that I immediately turned off the show. You remember that show Lock and Key?
Yeah.
The dialogue in
that was dog shit.
And the acting performances were so bad. I couldn't make it through 10 minutes. I'm like, this show might be great. But so Wednesday, if it was strict like pass fail, it would be a pass for me, but just barely.
Yeah. I forgot a couple other actors that were in it. Catherine Zeta-Jones plays Morticia. Famously cannot act, but do you really have to when you're playing Morticia?
Yeah, a little bit. Angelica Houston was great.
Oh, she was great. Both Angelica Houston and then, what's that guy's name that passed away in the original Addams Family movies?
Don't know. Well, but Christopher Lloyd was Uncle Fester.
No, I don't. I'm not.
But I'm saying Christopher Lloyd was Uncle Fester in the original, and he was in the movies, and he was great.
Yeah. No, in this one, Uncle Fester is played by Fred Armisen.
I really did not like him as Uncle Fester.
I didn't like him either. He was my least favorite character.
That was the only one where I'm like, no, just fucking get him out of here.
And then Luis Guzman, who you may or may not have seen in a bunch of other movies. He's a recognizable actor, but he's not a big name, like A-list actor.
He's been in a ton of stuff, and he always plays Luis Guzman.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I don't think Luis Guzman I forget the character's
name. Gomez Adams.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't think it really works.
Yeah. So those are the kind of the big name, high profile actors, actresses. There was actually, I remember when the movie was still kind of in post-production and then critics got an early sneak peek at the show. A lot of them had a lot of problems with the actor and actress that they chose for Gomez and Morticia Adams are like, oh, they kind of ruined the parts and blah, 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 blah. I really couldn't care either way because this show is supposed to be about Wednesday.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. So those two, not the best casting.
No.
But it was fine. Yeah. And particularly Catherine Zeta-Jones, I think she is not a great actress, but she didn't really need to be. And they didn't have major roles. It was more like Jenna Ortega and like the other main cast members. I'm like, they were not good, but they weren't terrible. That was the way I'd put it. And I think Jenna Ortega did a passable job, probably better than a lot of the other supporting actors. So like it worked for me. Her performance grew on me in the beginning. Again, I felt like both the writing and her performance, they were trying way too hard to be edgy because they also love to randomly have her say things like, you know, she's like, I had to sit through class. It was torture, but I prefer my torture with guillotines and racks and spikes. And it's like, fucking, all right, Wednesday, we get it. We get it, Wednesday, like, chill out. But they threw so many of those in particularly early. We're like, okay, we fucking get it. All right. Can we get on with the story? But I do think the story got a little bit better. It was very Scooby-Doo.
Yep.
But to be fair, so was Harry Potter in certain aspects. There's a lot of like
twists and turns.
We've got to investigate the creepy hallway. Let's go, gang. Yeah. You know, in defense of the show Wednesday, I think some of the mysteries unfurled better than Harry Potter. That's probably the only thing they did better. In terms of world building, Harry Potter is like a billion times better.
Yeah.
Frankly, their world building did not really make sense to me. In their world, in the world of Wednesday, there are the quote-unquote outcasts who go to this fictional school, Nevermore, which is like the Wednesday version of Hogwarts, based on, I guess, founded by like Edgar Allan Poe, because he has that line, quoth the raven, Nevermore. And there are then normies. And this is just like an accepted thing. People in the town who are quote-unquote normies are like, oh yeah, we're normies. And I'm like, what? Like, that's the thing. People who are in the normal majority never refer to themselves as normies.
Yeah.
That's not how they view things. In this world, I feel like all these people would be just, you know, all the quote-unquote outcasts would be, like, burned at the stake or something. Normal people do not like sort of, like, overpowered monsters with non-specific powers running around.
Yes, sir.
Because that was the other part of the world building, which was a little bit confusing. Like, at first they do seem like they're trying to establish like, oh, there's like vampires and there's werewolves, but then it kind of becomes, and there's just like whatever else we want. Can people fly in this world? I don't, we don't know. Maybe. Can someone randomly control bees as like a superpower? That's their superpower. Yeah. He has to go to this outcast school for werewolves because he can control bees. Sure. Yeah. That's what we're going with. Fucking don't think about it too hard. We didn't like that. That's how I felt the screenwriters sort of approach things, which is fine. I mean, it lacked some of, like I said, that really rich world building that made Harry Potter great, but you know, maybe there's only so much you can do in a show with the time they had.
For me, the show, I think just as my opinion, it just had a rough start. The first two or three episodes for me seemed to take a little longer, a little slower paced, and it didn't really, it didn't grab me.
No.
And I kind of was just like, okay, I'm going to force myself to watch these other episodes. And then it started building, and then like, yeah, that Scooby-Doo-ness, that whodunit, like had me
that worked, right?
Yeah. Toward the last, you know, four or five episodes, like it had me kind of hooked.
Well, because particularly in the first few episodes, there was stuff that just didn't really seem to fit. Like they're like, we're gonna have Wednesday get into a sword fight in fencing class, which is a thing that will happen once, but then never come back again. Oh, what if we had Wednesday and then like a bunch of other girls dress up in leather cat costumes and go on a canoe race? Does this have any relation to anything at all? No, but look, Wednesday in a cat costume. And because I think at that point they were realizing like, oh, we have made a show for 13-year-old girls. We at least need to get some 13-year-old boys on board with this. Wednesday in a cat costume, that's got to work. And you know what? I think they're probably right.
You think so?
I think 13-year-old boys would watch the show
probably,
as well.
Yeah.
Cause again, Wednesday is edgy and she's like, oh, she's not like other girls. She likes serial murders and blood. But yeah, I agree with you, Mondo. Once the Scooby-Doo element got going, it was much more interesting.
Yes.
What was the Scooby-Doo resolution where they pull off the mask? And you're like, jinkies, it was the amusement park operator the entire time. Was that satisfying for you, or was it sort of an eye roll?
I didn't see it coming. I you know, like,
really?
Yeah. So you know, you watch movies like that, the whodunit type movies, and you start like, you know, I'm suspicious of this character, this character, this character.
Mm-hmm.
One of the two threw me off. One of the two final culprits, I guess, if you want to call them that, kind of threw me off. The other one, I was like, okay, yeah, I kind of saw that one coming.
I'm trying to think how much spoilers to go into. Okay, listen, light spoilers / hints. Out of like the overall mastermind, the way they set it up, there was only two people in the entire show it could be. So I was like, and they kept trying to make it seem like it was the one. So I'm like, obviously this is a red herring. Like they didn't give you enough clues to actually figure out.
Yeah.
Who the quote unquote mastermind was, except for the fact that you knew it had to be a woman, and there just weren't that many women in the cast.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, it's obviously.
Well, there was three that for me, you're right, saying two.
There was three, but one of them, it couldn't have been just because it like there wasn't a way for it to be that person. I didn't think. And then, so it was between two of them, and one of them made absolutely no sense. Really. They didn't really set it up, which is why it was like a big twist at the end. But the one that they were sort of set, you know, pointing towards, I was like, yeah, I don't.
You felt it was too obvious?
I felt like the way they had done everything else, I'm like, oh, they're going to try to make a twist. So being that, like, I've eliminated one and there's only two left, then it's got to be the random one. Like, that was how I got to it. But anyhow, see, guys, you could get you could have fun trying to figure out this Scooby-Doo mystery yourself. But instead of you know, a talking, you know, I guess Scoob is a talking dog somehow, a talking dog and like a 60 stoner, it could be this like 20-year-old playing a 16-year-old edge lady, edge queen. What's the color in edge queen?
Outside of plot and all that, did you have any like characters in particular you kind of liked or disliked or felt strongly either way?
You know what? I wish that the actor had been a little bit better in terms of his performance, but I felt like they did my man Eugene Oettinger wrong.
Oh yeah,
I was like, he you know what, he was trying.
Yeah,
and he was such an outcast that his power made no fucking sense.
Yeah.
like why is he at this school? He's just a little nerdy kid.
I was initially like this character. I was like, I'm not gonna like this character. I'm not almost so to the point where I was like, I'm not gonna like this show because of this character. Basically, the roommate, the little blonde girl.
Yeah,
I was like, I am not gonna like this show. This roommate's annoying the fuck out of me already. And I just stuck it through. And I have to say, I changed my mind toward the end. I was like, oh, I kind of like this girl now. I kind of like...
Because part of it was they tried way, way too hard where they're like, look, it's going to be an opposites attract.
Yeah.
Like Wednesday. I mean, and again, beautiful set design. But it was like where, you know, we talked a little bit about some of this sort of subtle symbolism in Andor.
Yeah.
In this one, they're like, look, like she wears bright colored nail polish and we made half of the room really bright stained glass and then Wednesday's side of the room is completely dark. Guys, you get it? Yeah. Like they're opposites. Like she's cheerful and sunny and Wednesday's dark and gloomy. Guys, do you get it? Do you get it? And we're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Guys, can we have a little bit of nuance? A little bit?
We are just, sorry, we're about 57, 56 minutes in. Just FYI, just heads up, scoreboard.
All right. But yeah, I mean, that was another one where the actress, I thought she was like just good enough where she didn't ruin it, but not good enough where I'm like, yeah, I love that character. For me, I don't know.
Yeah.
We've been circling around this a little bit. Is Wednesday a binge or a purge for you?
It's neither or for me, because especially when you think of binge for me is like, you start watching it from the beginning, you just can't put it down. It was such a slow start for me that I couldn't say it was a binge up front. And then as I started getting more into the whole, like the whodunit-ness, it got to the point where I was like, okay, I stayed up to watch the next one and then the next one. So it was a binge towards the end. The beginning was a rough start.
Uh-huh. Because the other part in the beginning, they really were trying to set up the whole Harry Potter thing.
Yeah.
Like one of the big things in Harry Potter are the different houses sort of pitted against each other. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's the Gryffindors versus the Slytherins. Oh, we don't like the Slytherins because they're bad and blah, blah. And they were trying to do that with the different sort of like the
cliques.
Yeah, the sirens and the werewolves.
And they never went with it.
No, anymore. They just kind of forgot about it.
They just,
they had the canoe race and then they're like, yeah, whatever. We're over this whole thing.
Yeah.
This is kind of weird because I think to enjoy this show, you'd really have to be in the right mood. I also think it's hilarious, by the way. This would have been a perfect Halloween show.
Yeah, if they did it like a month earlier, it would have been perfect.
If you just wanted like a dumb kind of funnest show with monsters and some blood and gore and amazing Halloween show if you're in that mood. And they're like, no. Here's us Christmas.
Also, the way they released it, they released all the episodes at once. If they were going to do that, then, like you said, go back towards like Halloween and then do them right all before Halloween. But if they would have done like a weekly release or you know, some of these shows now are doing like two or three episodes up front, yeah. and then they start doing a weekly after that, they should have done something like that to tie it in with Halloween. It has nothing to do with Christmas at all. There was not even, which I'm okay with, like in Hawkeye, when Hawkeye came out, they tried to like sneak in or like wedge in the Christmas
stuff.
That was
so dumb. Yeah, I didn't like that.
They didn't do that at all with this one,
which is better.
Okay.
I think it was better that they didn't. I guess what I'm trying to get at was I ended up enjoying the show. This was a show where like you kind of just have to shut your brain off and not try to worry too much. And you're like, all right, there's going to be dumb dialogue and they're going to get really repetitive about Wednesday being edgy and so forth and so on. But at the end of the day, I enjoyed it. Tim Burton directed and visually the show is really beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
And you're just like, oh, cool macabre stuff and Wednesday and whatever. And ultimately, not a great show.
What would you rate it, 1 or 1 through 10?
5.
Really? I'd give it a 6.5, maybe a 7.
But for me, I was in the mood for just kind of a little fantasy based thing and it didn't have to be perfect. So I did binge it, but I would probably rate this as a purge. Like I would not recommend this to somebody else.
Yeah. If you were, okay, like I've got a young niece and nephew, like I would recommend it to them because I think it's more in line to like their age group.
Well, yeah, the demo for this show is 13-year-old girls.
Yeah.
Let's be clear about that.
and some 16-year-old boys. You know, I won't think that Jenna Ortega is a little cutie or something. But
I mean, if your thing is like really really pale girls and like tons of powder makeup, then yeah, that's and like and just a lot of black. And did she have, was she always wearing combat boots?
I think so, yes. And then she also had the, so like all the other students had their school uniform.
Yeah, but she's allergic to, she's allergic to color, which was kind of funny, but then it also didn't,
no.
Like she touched plenty of things that were colorful and it
she
didn't
had
have
this,
any bear
She had the same
anything.
Uniform that the, everybody else did, but hers is all black and gray and white.
Because she's Wednesday and she's an edgelord. Sorry, edge queen. You know what? I hope that this show gets a second season.
Yeah.
And like they just make it better.
Yeah.
Because sometimes shows like this, when they get a little bit of a head of steam, then they come back and they're like, okay, we see all the stuff we fucked up.
There was some, they did sprinkle in some profanity here and there. And then I think they may have gotten in trouble or something because then they moved away from it. Because there was like early on, there was like shit. And I think there was an F word or something, I remember. But toward the latter episodes, what got me laughing.
There was a lot of fisting. What? A thing. He's a hand.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway.
Get it? Because he's the disembodied hand.
They moved away from.
Dude, by the way, was it just me or is everyone, like all the normies, way just too nonchalant about meeting Thing?
Yeah, like, yeah, guy,
they're just like,
walking
around. Disembodied hand. Yeah, yeah, whatever.
We're over an hour and 2-3 minutes-ish now, so is there anything else you wanted to add to the episode?
Nah.
I don't either. Just a heads up for the degenerate land out there. I'm going to attempt at being out to California for the Christmas holiday and then probably stay through New Year's Eve, so there's probably not going to be an episode somewhere in that period, episode or two. Apologize in advance for that. But anyway, hope you guys appreciated or enjoyed this episode. Thanks again for watching and listening and all that shit. Talk to you guys in a couple weeks. Bye-bye.
Hey, everyone. Mondo here. I just want to take the time to say on behalf of myself and Aaron that we appreciate everyone who's taken the time to listen to our podcast. We know there's hundreds of thousands of podcasts to choose from, but you took some time out of your day to listen to us ramble on. Please share our podcast, like and subscribe, follow us on all our social media platforms and all that jazz. Whether you love us, hate us, agree with our opinions or disagree, we still love you.